This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man. Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Friday to you, boys and girls. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Thanks so much for being with us. Got a good hour of radio for you. At least I think so. Phil, just being Phil, ultimate Zen, sleeping through scouting workouts. Also, the Kansas City Chiefs extend Andy Reid and then promptly say, yeah, and the GM's fired. Oh, wait, what? Any thoughts on last night's NBA draft? Hit me up with them at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Last night, as expected, Lonzo Ball goes number two to the LA Lakers. And immediately, LaVar Ball starts popping off. And last night, once again, should have reiterated and convinced you that everything LaVar Ball says he does not believe. Some of which he might, but he's mainly making it up as he goes along. And when he hits something that he really likes, he seems pleasantly surprised with himself. So last night he's being interviewed by Jeff Goodman, and Lonzo Ball is sitting there watching him like, oh God, not again, Dad. Oh. Look, I can tell you, I have been embarrassed by Papa Amendo many a time. Usually it happens on a late night after a holiday when we're all around the extended family and he's had one too many. And I'm like, okay, Pops, let's put the port away. Let's put the rum away. Let's put the beer away. You're getting really loudy. You're getting really screamy. You're getting really opinionated. And this is not a good look. And I got to feel like every son in America has been embarrassed of Pops at one time or another. The problem is that LaVar Ball's embarrassing and he is stone sober. It is not a late night. It's not after a couple of too many. It is just stone sober. 24 hours a day. And last night, just seeing that look on Lonzo's face, man, I wouldn't wish that look on Lonzo's face upon my worst enemy. You just see him mortified, like staring at the ground. It should be the happiest night of his life, right? This should be Lonzo Ball's crowning night. This is better than graduation. Remember how proud you felt on like high school graduation? I would say college graduation, but Mraz didn't go through that actually.
5.5 years. Just give me the degree.
There are those moments, maybe your sweet 16 or your 18th or your 21st birthday. Or there's a moment in your life where you just feel really good because you accomplished something, you have seen it through, and this moment of celebration is for you. And there's Lonzo, who had just supposedly gone through this, staring at the ground as his dad yaps to Jeff Goodman of ESPN. I felt bad for Lonzo. I don't know if anybody else did. I felt bad for him. He did not choose this life. This life chose him. This dad of his has, look, built up this kid's brand and maybe helped make him the number two pick in the draft. Certainly, I'm sure, is helping him put some more money in the family's pockets and all of this. But mostly, it just feels like Lonzo is largely mortified. But look, that's neither here nor there, because if Lonzo really just wants to play basketball on the basketball court, his dad can't affect him. For those 2.5 hours a night, No matter what his dad says, he gets to just ball. But LeVar last night, you can just tell the wheels turning in LeVar's head. He's now at the point where he's playing a game with every microphone. And the game is, how outlandish can I be? And then I will sit back and admire my work. So last night, Jeff Goodman says, well, you have a Laker-themed big baller hat. When did you get that made? And he says, he stumbles, pauses, looks at Goodman, and then it hits him when he was born. Now, we all know that's not true, and I don't even know if we're supposed to believe that that's true. But LeVar keeps hammering this point home. When he was born, I had this made. When he was born. Well, there was no big baller brand hat, obviously, to be made when Lonzo was born. And he certainly didn't make it in Laker colors 19 years ago. But as he comes to this, then the huge smile comes over LeVar's face like, ah, yeah, I thought of a good one, huh? That was good. So this whole thing is like performance theater for LeVar Ball. And maybe at the end of the day, like I've said, it's only that and nothing more. And Lonzo gets to go out and play ball. And we just have to accept that LeVar Ball, while also drunk on celebrity, no doubt about it, is kind of just playing some type of goofy game, knowing that it's all kind of just a joke. But there is a real aftermath to it. And the real aftermath is opponents don't like Lonzo. They don't like Lonzo. Because last night, after LeVar Ball takes the stage, Ben Simmons, who has never played a game in the NBA yet, tweets, crazy pills.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Talking about, obviously, LeVar Ball's rant, as LeVar Ball, quote, guaranteed that Lonzo will lead the Lakers to the playoffs this upcoming season. Now, that would be a freaking pretty big turnaround. If the Lakers go from one of the worst teams in the NBA and the number two pick overall because they were such trash to making the playoffs because they added Lonzo Ball, that's a pretty big proclamation. But LeVar has now put that on Lonzo. Simmons tweeted crazy pills, and then Joel Embiid, his teammate, tweeted, please dunk on him so hard that his daddy runs onto the court to save him. Note that Lonzo didn't say this. His dad did. And already you've got opponents that want to jam on Lonzo's face so that his dad is embarrassed. Lonzo didn't proclaim anything. And these guys already don't like Lonzo Ball. So there is now an aftermath. There is now an after effect. There is now something that comes out of LeVar being a bozo, being a loudmouth. And I'll give him this. The only person in America that could make Sixers-Lakers interesting next year is LeVar Ball. Suddenly, Sixers-Lakers is going to be the Thursday night TNT or ESPN game. But I think that's going to end up being a lot of how opponents feel about Lonzo. Let me embarrass you because I want your dad to be embarrassed. And it will have nothing to do with what Lonzo Ball does or says. I hope for Lonzo's sake, LeVar chills out and then just now focuses on his other two kids and starts promoting them and hyping them up. Because Lonzo has now paid the penance enough. He's paid the penalty enough. I mean, he hasn't asked for this. He hasn't said any of this stuff. He has none of the arrogance his dad does. I just hope that LeVar allows him to just ball now and just have his own career. I got a sinking feeling, though, that this is one of those vicious cycles where if Lonzo succeeds, LeVar is only going to continue to be loud and obnoxious. And so, and about him succeeding. And so that it's only going to feed itself. John's in South Carolina listening on CBS Sports Radio's 100.1. What's going on, John?
Hi, DA. Like the show. Glad you're on in the day now. I wish you got the TV afternoon job. I don't care for the other two.
Well, anyway, I appreciate you listening, buddy. Those guys are doing a nice job. Thank you.
Okay. I watch the ACC, and I'm an ACC man, and that's all there is to it. So I've not seen a lot of Lonzo Ball. Is he that good?
Well, yeah, he's really good. Now, he also fits the perfect prototype of the modern NBA, where you have a guard-oriented league that's trying to distribute the ball and, you know, play an up-tempo style. So he fits that perfectly. And this is also a draft where there was a lot of question marks about everybody. But I think he's definitely deserving of number two.
You covered a lot of what I wanted to ask you, but I have one more thing. Do you think he'll ever speak up against his father?
You know, I don't know. He doesn't feel wired like that. I mean, he doesn't look wired like that. I think it's very hard now because he hasn't played in the NBA yet, so he doesn't have his own money. He doesn't have his own celebrity, his own career. You know, when you're still going through college, I mean, remember, he's only one and done, too, so he's young, 19 years old. I think it's still young for him to speak up against his dad. Maybe down the line if it gets too much. But here's the thing. And this is a complicated piece of the puzzle when it comes to the balls. Lonzo Ball is exactly where LeVar probably always told him he would be. And so if LeVar has been shown to be right, Lonzo might not think there's anything wrong with this. I mean, to us on the outside, we're like, you don't have to do that. You'd be really good anyway. You don't have to say all this crazy stuff. He'd be drafted number two anyway. You don't have to put the spotlight on him like this. Lonzo's good enough. But from Lonzo's standpoint, he's going, well, my dad told me I was great. My dad told me to go to UCLA. My dad told me you should play for the Lakers. And guess what? All of that happened. I was great, and I played for UCLA. And I got drafted by the Lakers at number two overall. Now, my dad sounds kind of crazy to other people, but to me, maybe Lonzo's thinking, well, he's been right. You know, big baller brand, $500 shoes. And maybe Lonzo's going, well, I mean, he's been right about everything, and now we're making money off of this, and the family's got some cash, and he's on every TV show and radio show. You know what? I mean, dad is right again. You know, I wonder. I don't know if Lonzo feels that way or if Lonzo's really, really embarrassed. I mean, like I said last night, that look on his face, I thought just looked mortified. As LeVar is talking, Lonzo's just staring at the floor, not a smile. I mean, this is supposed to be the happiest night of his life. But there might be part of this where, you know, there might be an intimidation factor too, where his dad is so loud and he's not. His dad is so brash and he's not. His dad is so opinionated and he's not, that trying to fight back might be intimidating. I just, like I said, I hope LeVar chills out on Lonzo. Go to the next two kids and do whatever you want to do with them. Just let Lonzo play basketball because he's good enough to play basketball, and I'd like to see him play it without having his dad basically make his life more miserable. Shouldn't have to deal with that. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, Phil being Phil. Tweet coming in, Jeff in Detroit. DA, I walked into a Chevy dealership once and the sales guy by the door was sleeping. I walked right by him. He was still sleeping when I left. Was that Phil? Did Phil come to look at a car and just fell asleep in a chair next to the door? Did you check if he had 12 rings or 13 rings in his bag? This story is great. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Twist off, I'd say about halfway down on the cupcake. Now, what you're making is an icing sandwich.
Interesting.
I okay. never have seen this before. You're right. So, now it almost feels like lunch.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
10:20. It's time for your Buffalo Wild Wings game preview. Trades are scary when a player leaves your team. You can't like them anymore. You can't even wear their jersey except here. They don't judge. Others might. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. Rockies and Dodgers, the NL West race, pretty captivating right now. As the Dodgers enter the game holding a game-and-a-half lead on the Rockies for first place in the National League West. Dodgers just took care of business, four-game sweep over the Mets and pounded them in each and every game. Kyle Freeland on the mound for Colorado this evening, ace of the staff, 8-4 for the Rocks to go along with a 3.42 ERA. Alex Wood, a Cy Young candidate for the Dodgers, 7-0 with a 1.90 ERA. The NL West has two of the best teams in all of baseball. The trainer for Jimmy Butler, this is fantastic, took to Twitter last night after the trade of Butler to the Timberwolves and just crushed Gar Foreman, the GM of the Bulls. This is the trainer for Jimmy Butler. Tweeted, 0-82, worst culture in the league. I've met drug dealers with better morals than their GM. He is a liar, and everybody knows that. Well, this is fun in a lot of different levels. Number one, you got to love trainers speaking out now. Everybody has a Twitter machine.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Everybody's got an opinion that will be amplified. Great. Now trainers are trashing front offices. Good. I was kind of hoping Brandon Ingram's trainer would weigh in on the drafting of Lonzo Ball. Was really hoping that Dwayne Wade's trainer would weigh in on Lauri Markkanen. Really looking forward to a roundtable discussion of trainers. Maybe we can get them on Hot Take or First Disputed or whatever. We'll have maybe a roundtable of trainers come up and just have them kind of break down the upcoming NBA offseason. Good. But number two, this brings up a better question. Do we think there are drug dealers, literally, with better morals than Gar Foreman? Mraz, do you think there are good drug dealers out there? Guys that actually have people's best interest in mind and are just simply selling a product that people want?
My first inclination would be yes, but then I think about it for 10 seconds and go, absolutely not, because, yeah, people want it. You shouldn't be selling it because you're killing people.
What happens if it's just weed you're selling?
It's a gateway drug, DA. It's a gateway drug. We can dive deeper into this.
I think there's got to be weed dealers that have decent morals. I mean, think about it. There are dispensaries now in Colorado. You can walk in and buy it like it's a beer store. So selling it anywhere else doesn't mean that you should be a criminal. I mean, you can actually...
You avoided taxes for a long time when it was illegal selling it. Like, I find it hard to believe the people working dispensaries now just got into the weed business when it became legal.
Maybe not, but I mean, you're a guy that spit in the eye of an opponent.
I embrace not having morals, and I don't care. I spit in
That's a direct quote, by the way.
Yes, I get it. Okay, listen, are we just going to bring up stuff from my past from 5 years ago forever? I've grown old and mature here.
Uh-huh. How long ago did you say that clip?
About 3 months ago. I embrace not having morals, and I don't care.
I think you could be a drug dealer that has better morals than Gar Foreman. I think that's totally possible. Here's my better question. Like, think about you watch The Wire. Would you consider any of the drug dealers in there to have better morals than maybe an NBA general manager?
No, because they're drug dealers. They're selling the devil's antidote.
Well, wrong usage. But anyway, they are selling. That's really hard stuff. And they're killing other people as well.
Right.
And they're wrecking communities and wrecking families.
There are gats involved.
There are lots of gats involved. Okay, but let's ask this question. Who in the NBA would be the most trustworthy drug dealer? Would you trust Danny Ainge dealing your drugs?
I guess I would trust Danny Ainge dealing drugs.
No, I would not. No.
I mean, he's made a couple savvy trades.
Whatever he says, you can't trust.
Not at all.
No. How about Popovich? Would you trust him?
You know why I trust Popovich?
Yeah.
Because you're never going to get arrested. He's never going to speak to anybody.
Okay. I would say you trust Pop because he's a straight shooter. He ain't lying. He's not telling you one thing about your drug and then you get something else. Like, he's not selling you something and tricking you into what he's selling.
I'm not trusting Mark Cuban to sell me drugs.
Good question. I wouldn't trust Mark Cuban either. I think Mark Cuban's in it for himself. And he will sell you down a river as well.
For sure.
Pat Riley, you buy drugs off Pat Riley?
No. Pat Riley's a worm. No chance.
Phil Jackson.
You know why I would buy? Because I know next time I went to him, I might get a free dosage if he's asleep on the stoop selling me the weed.
So that brings us to this story where Phil Jackson apparently, if we believe this, and I kind of believe it, fell asleep during a workout. That during a potential NBA draft pick this summer, this offseason, and we don't know who this was because it's anonymous, but said that Jay Williams said he spoke to a potential draft pick. And this draft pick told Jay Williams, Phil was falling in and out of sleep during my workout. Now, I mean, as though you need any more evidence that he is in over his head. This is, it's funny, but here is literally what's going on. This is totally legit. Phil Jackson took this job thinking it was going to be easy, thinking that because he had this brand and because he had this experience, because he believes he's the smartest guy in the room, he would simply assemble the guys that do the actual work under him. And he would say, like, okay, I've got 4 scouts or 10 scouts, a scouting department, an assistant GM. They're going to go and look at all the players. I'm just going to get kind of these thumbnails on guys. And then because of my intellect and my savvy and my kind of intuition, I'll be able to build the team. And I know basketball. Phil never took this job with any intention of doing really hard work. He thought his intellect would carry him. And so Phil, now in the middle of it, kind of can't believe how much work there is. He's not Jerry West. Jerry West will work until the day he dies. He will be on the job and drop dead, probably at 108 years old. West will work every day of his life that you let him, and he will grind. That is who Jerry West is. He is from West Virginia. He is from a tough family background, a tough-ass dad, and he said, I will will myself into everything, and Jerry West will work until the day he dies. That is not Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson doesn't really want the work that comes with this. It's a lot like Bobby Valentine. It's why I knew Bobby Valentine would not work in Boston. Bobby doesn't want to do work. Bobby wants to be Bobby Valentine, the celebrity. And he's good at that. He's good at showing up and shaking hands and kissing babies and telling some funny anecdotes. He does not want to work anymore. That's why he's the AD at Sacred Heart or whatever that university was. I don't know. University of Community College in New Haven, whatever that is. He's not sitting behind a desk making the volleyball schedule up, okay? He is there in name only, sits behind a desk, gets nice little office, and he gets to be that guy. And that's what Phil Jackson wants. They're cut out of the same cloth. An arrogance that cloaks the fact that they don't care enough to work anymore. I'll be honest. If I am in this chair doing this show at 70, I will probably not care anymore. I just have to be it. I will have done this for so long, from the age of 21 to 70, you think I'm really going to be grinding through draft profiles anymore? Think I'm really going to be up all night watching YouTube clips and old archive videos to make sure I know what I'm talking about? Of course not. He is checked out. Phil is checked out. And if you see Phil at a Knicks game, you see him yawning all the time. That is a common sight of him yawning. This is too much work for him. And so this is no joke either. A couple of weeks ago, I heard from somebody in the NBA that Phil was told, you know, we should look at Jonathan Isaacs. Big man, lanky, explosive, FSU, that would be maybe around there. And he said, who's Jonathan Isaacs? Now, Jonathan Isaacs has been an NBA prospect since the day he walked on campus at FSU, and this would be the type of guy that is directly where they're supposed to draft. This is Phil. Phil doesn't know what's going on. Phil is just swooping in and being like, triangle, let's do that, and you run that. And I've heard of Joakim Noah. I like Joakim Noah. Well, we'll sign him. And Derrick Rose, I've heard of Derrick Rose. Let's sign him too. And, gosh, we need flexibility. So Carmelo, yeah, he's not good anymore. Let's trade Carmelo. There is no savviness here. There's no sophistication here. He's not doing any work anymore. And so this story does not surprise me at all. He's kind of old. He's not too old. He's kind of old, and he doesn't want to do work. This is a vanity project for him. He was coming home to New York to be the guy to win back Camelot. He wasn't ready to grind, and it takes grinding to be one of the 30 freaking general managers in the NBA. It's too competitive. Like, what do you think? Do you think Phil Jackson would ever be the general manager of the Spurs or the Warriors? They would laugh him out of the building. Like, no, we kind of need guys that know what's going on and guys that want to work. And that would be the first thing that they would say, like, thanks, but no thanks. He wouldn't get anywhere near a successful franchise. Not even a chance to run it into the ground. So falling asleep at a workout doesn't surprise me at all. At all. It was a late night last night. If he had to sit through... Here's a good question. Do you think Phil was he was awake for every pick last night?
No.
No?
No.
Right? Bogus?
Well, and apparently I didn't just heard this, that whoever they took in the second round stumped everyone on TV.
Yeah.
So maybe he was asleep and someone just like, take this kid.
Do you think he was awake for every pick of the... So that was 60 picks.
No. No.
Okay, so we are all in unison here. We don't think the general manager of the New York Knicks was awake for every pick of the draft.
And we're not kidding either. I'm serious. I don't think he was.
I don't think so either. There's no way they can win. There's no way.
He makes their first pick and goes, all right, come get me when we're around 40. And
right.
He goes back into his office and lays down.
Totally.
And in the middle of the second round, they come retrieve him.
We are all on a consensus here that one of the 30 general managers running a franchise was not awake for all 60 picks last night. Problem. That's defined as a problem. When we come back, what is going on in Kansas City with the Chiefs and an important Young Guns preview? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
New time slot. Same great taste.
DA, what's going on, man? Loving the new time slot. Super pumped that you're bringing back Target Demo Friday. I think that's pretty awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It is a Target Demo Friday. By the way, remember that you can always listen to the show by going to our apps and listen to them on your phone. So if you're outside of your normal listening area or maybe your local affiliate doesn't carry our show, that's okay. Download the CBS Sports app or the TuneIn app or the Radio.com app or Apple Music. You guys crack me up. Mark tweets me a picture of a little short Vine video of Phil Jackson hobbling to a microphone in front of a Knicks curtain. So I guess he was doing a short presser, and it says, Phil actually showed up to his post-draft media press conference. Huge step for him. And it's a little 10-second clip. And Phil looks like he's 90 years old trying to hobble over there. Very gingerly, very slowly. Hip is all like in a totally wrong direction.
Jeans that look like they've been wrinkled from sleeping.
It's like worn, weathered jeans. Not a stylish jeans. Like, these are jeans he definitely has had since the mid-90s. And a Knicks warm-up. I mean, Here's a good question. Did we do more draft prep than Phil Jackson did? Do you think we know more about the guys being drafted?
Than Phil Jackson himself? I'm going to say yes, because I think anything Phil Jackson has been handed has been handed to him by his team.
Okay, I think we know less than Phil Jackson. Okay,
no,
Phil has had to have seen these guys actually have some work.
I think I need to reword what I'm saying. I think Phil Jackson, on his own, to his own benefit, I think we have seen and watched more college basketball than him.
Okay.
And no more. I'm talking about,
okay,
like, Phil's...
So you're saying we have actually watched more college basketball than the general manager of the Knicks?
Yes, I think Phil had more knowledge on the draft last night, obviously, but I think that only comes because his team of people are feeding him this information that we don't have that team.
Okay.
I'm talking about on our own, without help, yes, we had more knowledge than Phil did going into last night.
Which, if that's even real, is just appalling. If that's right, that is appalling. Appalling.
You think he's watching Duke and Kansas on a February night? I mean, he's only had so many nicknames and has to get his naps in. There's no chance.
He does need naps.
You think he watched Frank Mason play one college basketball game?
Probably not.
No.
Here's a good question. Did we watch more of the tournament than Phil did?
We were at the two Final Four games, so by that standard, yes, we did.
I would almost guarantee you I watched more of the tournament than Phil, because I think, well, there was that one day where I watched every, that one weekend, it was rainy and miserable around here, and I watched every minute of every game for, I think, three of the 4 days. That had to have been more than Phil.
He barely watches the Knicks. How is he watching these college games?
Oh, that's too funny. Too funny. So, how about how weird this is in Kansas City with John Dorsey? The Kansas City Chiefs have become a very good team in the AFC. Now, because they have not made an AFC title game, we do not consider them one of the elite teams of the AFC. Last year, though, they were kind of a trendy pick to get to the Super Bowl. They ended up winning that division this past season, a division that included the defending Super Bowl champions and a tremendous Oakland Raiders team that probably would have won the division had Derek Carr stayed healthy, but obviously did not. But the Chiefs under Andy Reid and John Dorsey over the last couple of seasons have been a very steady, very good team. I mean, the Chiefs went 12-4 last year and were the 2 seed in the AFC. Now, unfortunately for Chiefs fans, no matter if they get the bye, the 1 seed, the 2 seed, it never seems to end up working well. The Chiefs forever have gotten a bye and still lost that first playoff game. The Lynn Elliott game, the game against John Elway in 1997, the can't force a punt against Peyton Manning game in 2003, last year against the Steelers at home. The Chiefs have a terrible, awful, atrocious track record historically of not taking advantage of their playoff seeding. But that being said, the Chiefs have been a consistent 10, 11, or 12 win team under John Dorsey and Andy Reid. And somehow yesterday, the Chiefs announce, we have extended Andy Reid. He is coming back, brand new 5-year deal, but the GM, John Dorsey, is gone. Basically fired. Not going to get re-upped. And you're going, wait a second, isn't John Dorsey the guy that just re-upped Andy Reid? So are you bothered that he gave Andy Reid a 5-year extension? Why did you just prevent him from doing that? You're going, none of this makes sense. How does the GM that just extended the head coach get fired? And I'll tell you, John Dorsey's not in charge. John Dorsey was not in charge. Andy Reid is the general manager. Andy Reid is GM and coach the same exact way that Bill Belichick is in New England. Bill Belichick doesn't have the title of player personnel director or whatever, but he is it. And so in Kansas City, while maybe we thought that Andy Reid reported to the GM reports to Andy Reid. Fact is, Clark Hunt, owner of the Chiefs, son of Lamar Hunt, likes Andy Reid and thinks all of the success of the Chiefs is Andy Reid's success. And that Reid is the only important piece of the puzzle. And he might be right. I think the Chiefs have seen a couple of lean drafts under Dorsey. And what I also think is, note, who did Andy Reid love? Jeremy Maclin. And what happened? They dumped Maclin. Basically, out of nowhere, you're out of here. I think the Chiefs brass, and specifically Reid, was very upset with how they handled Maclin. Maclin is a fan favorite of Andy Reid. And Reid said, last straw, get him out of here. Toss him. So that's the deal. Now, Dorsey might have also not helped his cause because there was some rumors that maybe he wanted to go back to Green Bay, his original organization with the Packers. So maybe they were just kind of cutting bait with him before that happened. But this is the deal. In Kansas City, Reid is the guy. Reid is the decision maker. Reid is the kingpin. And everybody else reports to him, obviously besides the owner. But Clark Hunt is in love with Reid because before Clark Hunt, there was a never-ending stream of very average coaches with very average success outside of Marty Schottenheimer. And Schottenheimer had a 10-year deal in the 90s, And they went to the playoffs basically every year, and they were always a relevant team, and finally sold out Arrowhead after a terrible 80s where you couldn't basically give away tickets to the Chiefs game. Then the 90s come. Schottenheimer's there. They win a lot of games. Derek Thomas, Carl Peterson. They sell out the plays, and it becomes the thing to do. And Clark Hunt doesn't want to give that up. I mean, Chiefs games, if you've never been to one, it is, to me, a religious experience. It is just one of the best things I've ever done in sports, is going to Arrowhead and seeing the plume of smoke coming off the barbecues and smelling the smoke and the grilling and being out there with the caravans, the RVs that have stayed overnight in the parking lot, woke up like it's a NASCAR race and started grilling at 7 a.m. in the morning, started smoking brisket at 7 a.m. in the morning, and then just watching everybody come over those hills and go into that stadium and 75,000 people pack that place and yell, "Home of the Chiefs." Oh, man, there's nothing like it. And Andy Reid has made it, once again, a successful place to play. You know, they win a lot of home games. And so you're not getting rid of a guy that goes 11-5 or 12-4, because you remember what it was before then with Todd Haley. And you remember the bad years with Gunther Cunningham. And you remember 7-9s and 8-8s and 6-10s. So Reed is staying. He's going to be there as long as he basically wants to be there, assuming he continues to have some success. Now, he can't afford 3-8-8s in a row, but to go 12-4 last year, to have a bye, a playoff game at home at Arrowhead, Clark Hunt's going to take that every day of the week with Andy Reid. And you watch. The fact that they traded up for Patrick Mahomes, that is definitely an Andy Reid decision, because Reid wants to extend his window. And he'll be there, assuming Mahomes buys him a little bit of time, because if Mahomes is not good early, he's not going to start this year, but let's say he's their starting quarterback next year, 2018. They could go 5-11 next year with him at the helm, but then it buys Reid 3 years to kind of develop him, Reid, quarterback guy, offensive guy, and all of that. So expect Andy Reid, short story made longer, to be around for the next 5 to 6 years still in Kansas City. Clark Hunt likes that. And he's the real GM. You the real GM. No, you the real GM. Can we cue up some CBS football music, boys? I mean, I guess we could have done that under that segment here, because it's only June, but it still feels like we need to cook in a little football into the mix. And on a day where we're kind of breaking down the NBA draft, the Jimmy Butler deal, upcoming free agency in the NBA, there is still room to shoehorn some football in here, like the Chiefs. And in some ways, it's a football Friday, because there's another huge tilt coming up on Sunday morning. You're looking live at Oregon Middle School in Medford, New York, where there's a conference championship game in the Long Island Flag Football League. It's the Suffolk County Championship between the undefeated ACA Contractors versus the two-seed Young Guns. 9 a.m. kickoff right here on CBS. Exciting times for you guys as the Young Guns prepare for their first, would this be your first county championship?
This will be the second county championship in franchise history. The last was in 2006.
Okay, so more than a decade removed.
More than a decade removed, much like going through the Marty Schottenheimer era. It took a while for the Young Guns to get back. We have our Andy Reid, if you will, hopefully with better time clock management here. But yeah, we're pumped, man. We're coming off a bye week. We earned ourselves a bye after the famous game with Mr. Six 2 weeks ago. This is unbelievable. We could go to the Super Bowl. We're 60 game minutes away from a Super Bowl, DA. A Super Bowl.
But the only problem is, the schedule makers of the league did you no favors. This is a true road game for you. This is about a half hour outside of your hometown where all you guys live.
Yeah, we're traveling out to Eastern Long Island, probably battling some Hamptons traffic on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And the game start, a 9 a.m. start.
9 a.m. kick.
Which essentially would be like taking a West Coast team, making them travel on the East Coast for NFC-AFC Championship Day, and making the game a 1 o'clock Eastern start.
This is
start.
Seahawks at Panthers, 1 p.m.
Right, so we got to get our clocks adjusted to the Long Island time zone.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully nobody gets lost on the way to a game, because we've never been to this school before. We don't know if there's bleachers. We don't know if it's grass or turf. The home crowd there for the ACA contract should be rocking. But we will show up wearing black, because we plan to end an undefeated season. We're showing up for a funeral on Sunday.
ACA Contracting beat you guys earlier in the year to hand you your only loss.
On Easter Eve, on throwback weekend, yes.
Easter Eve, but wouldn't Easter be on a Sunday?
Yeah, so that weekend they make all the games on a Saturday. Oh. And they make them, you know, Titan clashes. You know, it's almost like Thanksgiving weekend in the NFL.
Okay.
Easter weekend in the LIFFL is really where the tradition honors.
What was the score?
21-7. They scored a garbage touchdown late. Our quarterback flood through four picks that day, pulled his groin. It was a rough, worst game toe-to-toe. So we're big underdogs here. We're 7.5-point dogs entering Sunday.
This game will not be broadcast on Facebook because I'm not waking my ass up to go all the way out to Eastern Long Island for a 9 a.m. kickoff. But I will say this. I am intrigued because Mr. Six has talked about supporting you guys on your sideline on the crutches. Will he be there?
Yeah, the man who punched me in the face some 6 weeks ago now will be there in crutches waving a red towel cheering on the beloved Young Guns.
What a great competitor he is. What a great competitor. One of the greats. That he would put his own ego aside, his own team's loss to you guys, and he would cross the aisle, if you will. We need more of that in politics and sports. Mr. Six being gracious, going to support you on the sidelines, and maybe scouting you to see if he's going to join you in the free agency market. When we come back, did the Bulls get enough for Butler?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.